Good morning. It's good to be here to worship God with our hearts wide open to His truth. This morning, I would like to talk to you about strength for each day. We all understand that it is important for us to have physical strength, but it's equally, if not more important for us to have the spiritual strength for each and every day that we live. And I think that all of us can understand that. One of the things that I try to share with people about God's Word, every time that you open it, you can get at least one of three things out of it, or a combination of them all. And among those three things are facts to be believed. That is something that God reveals to us, the information in His Word. Another one is commands that are to be obeyed. They're things that He instructs us that He wants us to do. And then the last one is promises to be received. We definitely sing about that, how we're standing on the promises of God, and that those are something that is definitely a concept that we think about spiritually speaking all the time. But facts, commands, and promises are things that we can definitely see in His Word. We're going to talk a little bit about some of those things today. And I want to encourage you to open up your Bibles to Psalm 71. And we're going to talk about some of the things that we can do in order to get this spiritual strength that God wants us to have. And one of the things that we can see and we can learn is that we will get strength through praising God, through our worshiping Him. And there are many ways that we accomplish this, as we know through the Scriptures. But it definitely helps us to go in the strength of the Lord God. And one of those passages that stuck out in my mind was Ephesians 6, I believe verse 10, where it says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Because that's where we get our power from. That's where we get that source of all those spiritual truths, is from the Lord and His might. But anyway, here in Psalm 71, we're going to look at verses 14 through 16. He says, but there's a lot of things that he's concerned about with all the troubles that he's been dealing with, as he talked about earlier in this psalm. But he says, "For I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more." So no matter what he was going through, he's still going to maintain this hope. And as he begins to say, praising God more and more, he wasn't going to let whatever distractions try to keep him down cause him to not praise God, but he was going to do so more and more. So his attitude was definitely where it needed to be here. So this is where our attitude needs to be too. He says, "My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day." And then he says in verse, and your salvation all the day, "for I do not know their limits." So we begin to see God's wonderful power in all of this too. Then he says, "For I will go on the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only." So he's focusing on God's goodness, his righteousness, and he's going to be able to have the strength from the Lord. And of course, praising God will give us strength. That's one of those great sources that we have. If you look in Colossians 3 and verse 16, a wonderful passage that helps us to think about praise in the New Testament for God's people here in the New Testament times. He says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Well, how can we accomplish that? He tells us here in this verse. He says some of the ways. He says, teaching and admonishing one another. So this is something that we do for one another, to one another. And then he says, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So at the same time, we're also praising God when we're singing these things that he's talking about here. So we need to do this, and it will give us strength. It will uplift us. It will strengthen us in all the many ways that through these spiritual truths that he's revealing to us in these things that we're singing about. And similarly, we notice in Hebrews 13 and verse 15 that we get to do this through Jesus Christ, By him, he says, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So we are giving thanks. That's one form of praise. And we're doing this through our high priest, Jesus Christ, what he enables us to do. But doing this will definitely give us strength. It'll help us to have increase our relationship with God through those things. But also, praise actually encourages a positive spirit, too, because many times it's easy for us to start to go on the negative side, and that's what the world wants us to do, and it's where it's drawing us towards anyway. But we notice in James chapter 5 and verse 13, kind of interesting how we see that God ties those things together when we're praising him. It says, first of all, if anyone is anyone among you suffering, let him pray. So in order to get strength, we need to pray for help through because of the suffering or that we're, whatever suffering we're going through. But the second part of the verse I want to highlight right now is anyone cheerful, let him sing psalms. So if we have a good heart, when we're singing, it will actually keep us and strengthen us to go more in that direction, too, as we're going to keep that positive, cheerful spirit through singing those praises unto God. So that is one thing. Another thing that we can consider to help us to have strength through praising God. And definitely God is worthy of all our praise, and we can really never praise him too much. If we get that idea from Psalm 34 here in verse 1. One of these wonderful psalms that we have recorded for us. And he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So this is the attitude that he had. We know the strength that we can get from this wonderful example of one of the many psalms of David. But definitely, he is a great example. He stands out in the scriptures as one who had strength towards God, and we see him, you know, increasing through the years. But definitely in this song, it really helps us to understand that this is the attitude that we need to have towards him, to always be praising him. And that will definitely help us to have that strength that we need. Another way that we can have strength for each day is through the promises of God. If you will turn your Bibles to Isaiah 41, we'll see over here. I want to go ahead and read the whole verse, but he talks about many things here in this context. It's one of those ones you don't want to leave anything out. He says, fear not, for I am with you. He says, be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And so we see a lot of wonderful strengthening words, encouraging words from God in this passage. And we know this is the same type of attitude that he has towards his people through all the ages. But definitely we can get encouraged from this promise. Have you been meditating on the promises of God? This is one of the things that we can see, the things that he says he's going to do for us and with us and so on. But definitely, if we haven't really tried to focus on those things, we really need to open up our hearts whenever we're reading his word and notice those things that he says he's going to do for us, just like what we saw there in Isaiah 41. But one of the things that Paul encouraged Timothy about was to meditate on them, to really think about them and try to store them up in our heart. And he told him over here about those things that were revealed to him. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. So, you know, it starts in our heart, in our minds, and then it's going to happen in the things that we think and in the things that we do. It's all going to transfer over to everything else in our life. But we have to start thinking about meditating on them. And he said that your progress may be evident to all. So this is definitely a thing that was going to have an effect, a powerful effect on his life. But of course, among all those things were some of the promises of God that he definitely reveals to us in all the scriptures throughout the whole Word of God. And we have been given exceedingly great. I can't emphasize that enough, because he used the word exceeding great, or exceedingly great and precious promises in 2 Peter 1 and verse 4. So it is definitely a thing that we have for us to consider in the new law. And we have to think about when he tells us that so many wonderful things in this letter here in 2 Peter, but he, and as far as he's revealing in verse 4, by which have been given to us, this is something that God has given us, exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And it's hard for us to try to, you know, fathom all this, you know, this great transformation, and we're able to become like God in those ways, like Christ, our Savior, and grow in all those good, righteous ways. But this is what His Word enables and empowers us to have. And of course, He points us out that they're exceedingly great. So I like how he words it there. It really emphasizes how good and wonderful those promises are. Another way to receive strength is through our performance for God. We definitely serve God, or want to serve God, every day. And we know this passage in Philippians 4 and verse 13, where Paul was talking about the wonderful strength that he can get from Christ and through Christ. He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So it's through God's power that we're able to do anything and everything that He would want us to do. And we need to listen to Him, and we need to let His Word teach us so that we can have those things. But definitely the source is all through Jesus Christ for us to be able to do whatever He wants us to do. And that is, of course, to serve Him, to live a righteous life. And definitely Christians can gain strength by doing God's work. This is, as we see in Ephesians chapter 2, one of the purposes of His doing all these things for us. And he says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. It's for the purpose of doing good things. And he says, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So they're the things that we should do all the time. It becomes a part of our life. So those truths, and they become us in our lives. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we begin to see another interesting thing dealing with our heart and the strength that we can get through living for God every day and focusing on those spiritual things. He describes those spiritual things that we need to be thinking about here in this context. And he's talking about the hope and about the end result ultimately in this context. It goes on into chapter 5 and talks about our eternal home in the heavens. But the idea of our thinking about these things and doing these things, he kind of pulls them together right here. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. So instead of the opposite of strength, you know, we don't lose heart, but we're encouraged. He says, even though our outward man is perishing, you know, this physical body that we live in, it's decaying constantly, it's getting older, waxing old. He says, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So our inner man, our soul, our spirit is being renewed. It's being strengthened. All the time, every day, he says. That's because we're doing those things that God wants us to do. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, even though it may last 100 years, he says, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So those things that we're going through, that is part of our work and our service for the Lord. He says, while we do not look at things which are seen, but at things that are not seen. For things which are seen are temporary, but things which are not seen are eternal. What's the focus? The focus is on those spiritual things. And we're going to be, you know, working on those constantly as we go through each day of our life, through all the trials, through all the other things that we have to do. We're still focused in our heart on the spiritual things. Of course, many fail to do God's work because they're involved in their own interests. And, you know, we need to wake up, you know, if this is the case, because we need to have that strength through Christ. If we cut Him off, then of course we're not going to have that source of help that we need and strength. But we do need to take time for God. This is what we see Christ did while He was here on the earth. In John chapter 9, in verse 4, you begin to see this attitude that Jesus has, and He revealed about how the works of God should be revealed in Him. And that's what we're talking about here. In verse 4, he said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one, man can work. And that's right. You know, whenever we die, there's time, there's no more work that we can do to teach people about God, to help people look to him like we're doing. And we need to do this, you know, all the time. We need to have this kind of mindset to do the works of God, the things that he wants us to do. And definitely through all of this, we'll get that strength that we need. Strength through prayer to God also. Of course, many Christians do lack strength because their prayer life isn't what it should be. It's small, you might say. And we don't pray enough. And, of course, this is one of the great things that we can do to give us that help that we need. It's our communication. If we're not talking to God, if we're not letting him talk to us through his word, too, then definitely we are going to start getting discouraged. We are going to start losing that strength that we could have if we're not praying. There's so much power in prayer. But in Luke chapter 18, before that wonderful parable, we see the ultimate point that he wanted to get them to understand. We see there in Luke 18 and verse 1. He says, that he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. So we see how those things are connected together there. Because we're praying to God, we're asking God, then we're not going to get discouraged. We know that he's going to give us what we need. We know that he's going to help us. We're going to have that strength through prayer. And of course, in one sense, prayer is a Christian's lifeline. It's one of the ways that we're connected to God, and we need to utilize that. We need to make sure that we have it in our lives. In Philippians 4 and verse 6, one of the things that he tells us there is, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Have you really thought about that? In that way, just, you know, highlight that concept, but in everything by prayer, then nothing would be done without our thinking about God and communicating to him in everything that we do. We need to talk to him. He wants that kind of relationship with us. We're to talk to him and communicate with him. But definitely, this is one of the things that we need to consider. And definitely, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's another reason that we can approach the throne of grace through prayer. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. He will give us that help. He will give us whatever it is, so we can have that strength that we need, especially in the time of need, just when we need it the most. You know, sometimes we don't even realize it, but he helps us so much. And then after the fact, we realize some of the things that he helped us in. But even so, especially in the time of need, he definitely wants to help us. So we can definitely get strength through prayer to God as well. You can have strength for each day as we think about these things that we've talked about through our praise to God. When we're praising God, that's one of the ways that we can get that spiritual strength, through praying to him, by recognizing all these promises that he's revealed to us through our study of his word. He's going to uplift us and strengthen us and help us to think about things that we need to be thinking about. And by our performance for God every day, as we serve him, we're also going to grow in our strength. It's going to help us. And, you know, one of the concepts that we think about when we talk about this is, it's more blessed to give than receive. When we're doing things, you know, to serve God, we're oftentimes, what we're doing is we're doing things for others. We're trying to help others out too, but at the same time, we're doing this in the service of God. That's part of that pure religion that we see in James chapter 1. But anyway, we have our strength that we need through doing these four things that we've looked at. If you've never done so, we want to encourage you to become a follower of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15, in verses 1 through 4, the encouragement is given us about the gospel. And he reminds the brethren over here about some things. I guess they really needed to be reminded of these things. He told them, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand. The good word of God is what they were standing on. And he says, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you. So they needed to continue in those truths as they went on through their lives. that they already had the beginning of it, but they needed to continue doing it. And he said, which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So in the gospel, we learn about Christ dying for us, his burial and his resurrection also, in the good news of Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to discuss about the other revelations of Christ to all those different people. But we need to believe those basic truths about Christ. And definitely when we become a follower of him, what are the things that we do? We listen to him. We hear what he has revealed to us. And that's exactly what God said from heaven when Jesus was transfigured. He said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." So as we live our lives for Jesus, as we become a disciple of his, we definitely need to be listening to him. There's a beginning point, but there's really no end. We always are going to be listening to him for the rest of our lives. We also need to be believing in him. And when Jesus taught about the importance of this, one of the things that he highlighted over here in John chapter 8 in verse 24 was that we need to believe. And I believe I'll talk about it here in a second. He said, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." The he was inserted by the translators. You can see most of your Bibles has that in italics. But the highlight is, or the point I think is, I am. And of course the I am is one of the names of God that he's revealed to all of mankind. That he is the I am. He did that to Moses way back early on. He spoke from the burning bush. But anyway, we need to believe that he is deity, that he is the God of creation. We need to repent of our sin. That's one of the things that we see in the full revelation of what God's given us, that sin separates us from God. We need to repent of that and start following righteousness like he originally intended for us to have. And at Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, he points out to some and course, to all creation now, since we have it written down in the inspired word. He said, "I'll tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." You know, you come to a terrible end if you've never started doing what God wants you to do. So we need to repent of sinful living, that habitual sinful living. And we need to confess Christ. In Acts chapter 8, in verse 37, not only does it help us, but it also helps others to know that this is the truth, and that we share that same fellowship of belief in this truth. When in this instance, when the Ethiopian eunuch was obeying the gospel, Philip asked him a question: "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he was talking about being baptized, and he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So whenever Christ was preached to him, even from Isaiah, and of course, Philip filled in the blanks of the other things, he came to believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And so we all do when we first become a follower of Jesus. And we need to do that not only then, but also through the rest of our lives, as you all know. And then baptism is how we get into Christ. That's the culminating step that puts us into that saved relationship. That's how we reach the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. And when we do this, of course, we'll be able to have the remission of sins, hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And he talks about this is how we become part of that family of God. In verse 27, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." In the whole context, he says, in verse 29, "If you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise," that great promise that he gave to Abraham way back then. But this is how we just become a follower of Jesus, how we begin. But as you see, none of those things we forget about. None of those things we leave alone as we go through our life, because we think about all of them as we go through our spiritual life. It's wonderful that we definitely can have strength for each day because of what God has given us, this wonderful eternal truth that he's given us in the salvation through Jesus Christ. So the lesson is yours. We want to thank you for your attention and dismiss class.